time for our weekly segment with David Hellman of DallasCowboys.com.
We welcome in David Hellman, DallasCowboys.com. And David, it was another great performance by the Cowboy offense. Dak Prescott was as locked in as he's ever been in the second half. And I'm kind of interested to see the quieting of all of the Dak noise because, you know, clearly, and this is not necessarily a knock on Scott Linehan. I'm not trying for it to be, but he was kind of trying to put a round peg in a square hole with Dak. And what Kellen Moore's been able to do is just build something from not essentially scratch, but build something where he lets Dak flourish. And I think that's clearly what's happened the first couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think that might be putting it a little lightly. I mean, sure, again, you know, these probably aren't playoff teams, but they're NFL teams. And, I mean, Dak is playing as well as anybody in the NFL. He's certainly, this is easily the best two-game stretch of his entire career. The numbers speak for themselves. If you've watched the games, the tape speaks for itself. And yeah, it's hard not to give Kellen Moore a lot of that credit, and John Kitna too, for that matter. I think, you know, quarterback's coach has been working with him all offseason, has a role to play. But it's hard not to give those guys a lot of credit when the quarterback is the same and the only difference is who's calling the plays and what's happening during those plays.
David, do you have any concerns with things you've seen in the first 2 weeks? I mean, the defense hasn't quite been, I think, what maybe people expected it to be, but they've still been effective.
Yeah, I have a hard time articulating how I feel about the defense because this is what I said yesterday is you watch it live and you're like, oh, man, they don't look that good. They're not getting to the quarterback. They're not getting takeaways. They don't look dominant. And then you look at the stat sheet when the game's over and Washington had 255 yards of offense. They went 2 of 9 on third down. They scored 21 points, which one of those came in the final 5 minutes of the game when they were already down by 3 scores. Not to, like, make excuses, but I will take that defensive performance, like, 10 times out of 10. Like, that defensive performance is going to win you a ton of ball games in the NFL. So, yes, I think they could be better at rushing the passer. I think that they could certainly be better at getting takeaways. They had 2 easy chances at picks yesterday and didn't get either one of them. So there's stuff to work on, but I don't have that many complaints about the defense through 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it is. You can't – it just – I think maybe people expected to see, you know, kind of more, you know, more sacks or whatever, especially against teams that have struggled with that for a while. But they get Robert Quinn back this week. Obviously, losing Antoine Woods is going to hurt for however long that is. But really, you know, they haven't quite, you know – maybe sometimes the defense is ahead of the offense. Maybe it's the other way around in the first couple weeks for this team.
Yeah, it's, you know, it feels weird to say about a Dallas defense, but it's almost like they're victims of their own success. I mean, you go back last year, this is the team that held the New Orleans Saints to what, 10 points? And you had Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith running around making these crazy plays. You had DeMarcus Lawrence racking up sacks. You paid DeMarcus Lawrence $100 million during the offseason. Signed Jalen Smith to this extension. You know, we're raving during training camp about all the guys that are getting their hands on football. So I understand why people want to see more, and I do think that they can improve their game. That doesn't mean they've been bad. And to that point, you know, Byron Jones and DeMarcus Lawrence essentially didn't have a training camp. Tyrone Crawford didn't really have a training camp. Robert Quinn has been suspended for the first 2 weeks of the season. So, you know, a lot of people like to say that September has turned into the new preseason. And I wonder if that's partly true for this Dallas defense. You know, like I said, I hate to sound like I'm making excuses, but I'm not all that concerned when you consider all of those factors. And again, through 2 weeks, you know, they've given up, what, 17 and 21 points. Neither game was ever really in doubt, and it just doesn't concern me that much. Not yet, at least.
Michael Gallup out 2 to 4 weeks with that torn meniscus, and obviously I guess that's the best news they could have gotten with somebody who has that injury, but he was, the first 2 weeks, one of the best players, really looking like he's broken out and developed. Do you feel that Devin Smith maybe steps in to more of that role, given how well he's played so far, especially yesterday? Or what do they do in the next, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks with Gallup out?
Yeah, I'm curious about that because Tavon Austin is also dealing with a concussion. We don't know right now if he'll be back Wednesday in time for practice. So you could be looking at a scenario, if Tavon's not ready, you might have a scenario where you only have four receivers. I don't know what they do in that situation. They probably have to go get somebody or promote another player from the practice squad. That's getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. I think Devin Smith is the logical guy to be your backup number two and do a lot of that stuff. I think Cedric Wilson, probably not going to put a huge workload on him, but I do think he's capable of doing a variety of things. And the other thing is, you know, Amari Cooper and Randall Cobb are very versatile players. They can both play inside. They can both play outside. So I think Devin Smith, it makes sense that he gets a lot more snaps while Gallup is gone, but I think they can kind of fill that void by committee because of how versatile all these receivers are.
David Hellman, DallasCowboys.com, with us on ESPN Central Texas. There are no gimmies in the NFL. You don't have 43-0, but we just saw the Patriots do that. I don't see how, unless they just like fall over themselves or the plane just never takes off at Dallas and if Miami's plane doesn't take off and the game is canceled. How in the world do they stay focused this week? Is that a Jason Garrett perfection? This is what makes him one of the things that sometimes is underrated about him?
That is Jason Garrett's absolute number one best quality as a football coach. Like if you don't like Jason Garrett and I'm trying to sell you on why he's a good coach, that's where I'm going. His Monday to Saturday messaging and routine and not letting up, not really changing his demeanor or his approach, regardless of how good or bad the situation is, that's his strength. I promise you this. Like Jason Garrett, he might have private thoughts or private conversations about how he really feels, but with the team and every aspect of preparing them for a game, he is exactly the same for the Miami Dolphins as he would be for the New England Patriots. Like it's almost eerie how even keeled and repetitive it is. And it can be a little tedious to deal with as a member of the media, but his team responds to it. Like you don't see them come out flat or come out too amped up very often. I mean, I know the first quarter was kind of rough yesterday, but they snap right out of that after about two possessions and look just as efficient as they did in week one. So from week to week, you just don't really see those ebbs and flows. So that's what I always say is like it's their job to focus on the Dolphins. Like I have no prerogative to not take them lightly. I think the Cowboys are going to roll them. But it's their job to approach it that way, and I have just no doubt whatsoever that Jason Garrett's going to.
David, do you know yet how long Antoine Woods is going to be out?
So the word is it's an MCL. The Cowboys are hopeful that, you know, they're not ruling him out for this game. They want to see how he responds as the week goes along. One fun thing about working here is, like, I've seen Antoine walking around today with my own eyes, and he looks pretty gimpy to me. Like, he doesn't look like a guy that's going to be ready to play Sunday. But, again, it is only Monday. Like, a lot of work and preparation goes into getting these guys healthy. It's amazing what an NFL medical staff can do for a guy in 6 days. So, the Cowboys aren't ruling him out. I'd be pretty surprised if he practices Wednesday, but we'll see how it goes as the week goes along.
So they have this Gallup information, and you guys have already discussed Devin Smith and what he brings to the table. Man, David, this is how you win. Now, there's a long way to go. You have Jalen Smith become a miracle. Travis Frederick, in a way, a miracle. And then Lyle Collins falls in your lap. And Dak falls in your lap, although you're the one that eventually took him. And then all of a sudden, that doesn't mean Devin Smith is going to do this again, but on the week before Gallup is gone for 2-3 weeks or 3 or 4 games, whatever, this guy shows up and was a second-round pick. Isn't that how personnel departments help you win?
Hell yeah. And honestly, it's an MO the Cowboys have had for the last 4 or 5 years under Will McClay. Like, they do stuff like this all the time. You remember Rolando McClain. Devin Smith is one that immediately comes to mind. They've done it half a dozen times with cast-offs or guys who got hurt. If you've got big-time talent, then they're going to bank on you being able to rediscover it if you can get comfortable in their program. And there's literally no downside to it. Like, Devin Smith signed a futures contract in January, which is worth essentially nothing by NFL standards. They put him in the program. He comes out to training camp. Jason Garrett just said it in his press conference today. Like, he had a decent offseason. He looked good in the program, but, like, he didn't start catching anybody's eye until he got out in the preseason games doing actual football and had a chance to showcase that talent that made him a top 40 pick. So, you know, I don't know if this is the start of some crazy career arc where he goes on to become a Pro Bowler, but they certainly seem like they have found something in him, and at the very least, it's going to help them get through these next 2 or 3 weeks without Michael Gallup. And yeah, that's one of the biggest duties of a personnel department is to do stuff like that.
So who do they lose first, Kellen Moore or Will McClay?
Oh, good question.
Sorry, Paul.
I mean, you might as well throw in Chris Richard while you're at it.
Yeah,
got a lot of guys who are going to be in high demand. I mean, nobody catches fire like an offensive coach. So, I mean, if Kellen Moore keeps this up for a prolonged period of time, that is certainly going to be a storyline. I think Will McClay is a special circumstance. I think the Cowboys compensate him very nicely for the work that he does. I think there's also something to be said for, you know, Jerry and Stephen Jones are the public face of the franchise, and Will McClay doesn't have to face the media or a lot of the scrutiny that goes along with being a general manager. So I kind of sneakily like their odds of being able to hang on to him. But if the Cowboys offense keeps this roll up, then Kellen Moore is going to be a big name in the NFL for sure.
Well, and Will McClay, you make a good point of that. He's the genius behind the scenes that doesn't have to ever, you know, Jerry's kind of like the hero Gotham deserves, and that he can just take all the flack. And then everybody else can, oh, well, they're smarter than Jerry, but they're running it. You know, he can just take all that, and then everybody else doesn't have to deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, Will is a great guy. He's one of my absolute favorite people in the organization. You know, he pops up around draft time and a handful of times during the year. He'll grant interviews, and he'll talk about the personnel side of things. Like, he's not completely in the shadows, but – you know, when you talk about, you know, after every single Cowboys game, Jerry Jones is there to face 80 cameras and 60 reporters, good, bad, or indifferent. And you know, GMs have to deal with that type of scrutiny. I know not all of them talk as often as Jerry does, but if you're the GM of a struggling NFL team, you're going to have to face the scrutiny that goes with that. I think it is an unsung quality of Will's position that he kind of gets some of that deflected away from him by the fact that Jerry and Stephen Jones have such visible faces in this organization.
All right, David, thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. David Hellman with us.
Yep, thanks.
DallasCowboys.com.